front row.
Good morning and welcome. It's lovely, absolutely lovely to see so many people here. We brought some extra chairs in yesterday. We thought, well, you never know. And now we've run out of extra chairs because the hall is also being used for another event. But how wonderful. I have to confess that it's a long, long time since we ran out of chairs. And it's a wonderful thing to run out of chairs on the service, yes. So welcome all. It's lovely to see our family from Poynton and all our family and friends from round the circuit. Thank you so much for coming and travelling quite a distance to come and join us this morning to help us worship on our Sunday Pentecost service. Well, we have seen on the notices, and it's on the screen behind us, that we've been working towards an eco-friendly church. We've been working really hard, and we have achieved a silver award, which is quite an achievement. Gold is very, very difficult. But silver's there, and we're now going to aim towards our gold. So in order to celebrate that, we're on the 15th of July, open to all, we're having an event in the afternoon. There'll be singing, games, a picnic, a barbecue, and anything anybody wants to organise. It's in the early stages yet, but it will be us, and we will be presented with our silver medal, which we are very proud of. So feel free when you see it in the circuit notices to come and join us on that day. We'd love to have you here. And in that connection, please do stay for coffee afterwards. There's coffee in the coffee lounge. You can bring your coffee back into church. And our eco-friendly garden is outside with its eco-friendly, cleaned by myself, benches yesterday. So you can sit out in total confidence under a tree and not be wondering what has been there before you. So it's coffee, wherever, but do stay afterwards. Now, one other thing, and this is really important, somebody in our congregation has a birthday today. It's this week. It's Anne Batterton's birthday, and she said I could tell you that she is actually only 80 on Tuesday. So there's cake afterwards to help us celebrate with our biscuits and coffee. But do you think we could just sing a rousing Methodist? Not many people get all these people to sing happy birthday, do they? Anne Methodist. So could we do a rousing happy birthday for Anne, please? Anne, birthday. One, two, three. Stand up, Anne. Where is she?
Happy birthday to you.
Stand up. That was lovely, and now let's start the real purpose of why we're here today, which is to worship, and our worship is being led by Graeme Edwards. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this Sunday. Welcome to worship as we celebrate Pentecost. Welcome to worship as we gather together as the circuit. We remember God's goodness and grace. We remember that we are one church united by God's Spirit. We meet together to remember that gift of God, to seek God's Spirit. So let's take a moment of quiet and prepare our hearts, our minds, as we come before Almighty God. The Spirit descends like a dove, bringing peace to unite the world. The Spirit comes like breath, bringing life to renew the people of God. The Spirit spreads like fire, bringing energy and witness for the love of God. Spirit of the living God, come to us and transform us by your power. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first hymn, stand if you're able as we sing, O God of burning cleansing flame, send the fire.
We bring our prayers to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Let all the world praise you this day, Holy Spirit of God. Power of the Father, come to claim our lives. Grace of the Son, come to perfect us. Through you comes the energy by which the world is made. The stars are formed, the great galaxies are spread throughout space. The light shines and darkness is overcome. Through you comes the gift of life, breathed into every human being, so that we belong to the Father and can find our peace only through him. Through you come the visions of the young and the dreams of the old, the strong words of the prophets and preachers, the joyous songs of the psalmists, the teaching and commands of the Lord. Through you, Holy Spirit, the scriptures bear their witness, and through you comes the life of the church, the vitality of the faith, the healing of our bodies, minds, and spirits. You make your people holy. And through you comes our confidence for the future, our trust in your full purpose, our assurance of God. Glory be to you, Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, from all who were and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. A prayer of confession. You promise there will be visions and dreams, but we are stuck in our ways, for we have stopped dreaming. The believers were together, but sometimes we are divided. There were sounds of strong wind and fire, but often we expect nothing to change, nothing new to happen. The apostles spoke with new freedom, but often we are slow to speak for you. And everyone heard the message, but we try to reach only with those we feel most comfortable. The Father will send another helper, but we are so self-sufficient, relying on our own resources. You have promised the helper will teach us everything, but we have stopped wanting to learn and grow. Hear our prayers, good Lord. Assure us of your forgiveness so freely offered. and let your life-giving spirit pulsate through our worship this morning. For deep down we long to unfurl the sails of our hearts and watch them fill with your Holy Spirit and know and experience the new life which you promise to us when the Spirit comes. Amen. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you to Sheila for leading our prayers for us this morning. It is wonderful that we gather together on Pentecost. It is wonderful that we gather together as a circuit on this day. We remember the gift of the Spirit that transforms us, that reminds us who we are, reminds us what we're for, and gives us the ability to do those things. Being the church is quite hard sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we feel there's a pressure to do all the stuff that needs doing, all the jobs that need doing, all those things, and it can be quite hard work. And we wonder, what do we have? And of course we have any of you got one of these books? You see that? Anyone? Anyone got one? Anyone ever read one? Bits of it? All of it? Ooh, even the hard bits? Wow. We have this incredible book that tells us things, tells us these great stories of people of faith over generations. But we think we need more than that. But of course, there is more than that. There is more than just a story that lives on pages. There is something that breaks free from all of that. Oh. Oops. Just to kind of talk casually and see if you notice while it happened, that was my idea. It's not just a story that we have. The story is wonderful. But it's not quite as good second time. We have an incredible story, but that story breaks free when the Spirit comes and does incredible things for us. So that the Spirit says, I know the church is hard, but with me you can do the things that you're called to do. So what's the Spirit do? What has the Spirit come for? What's the point of it? The story that we'll hear a bit later tells us this incredible story. The Spirit came, those apostles suddenly began to speak in foreign languages. Who can speak a foreign language? Oh, magnificent. Angela's going to come and help me for this bit. You might need some of your minions as well, I think. You're a minion, Ruth, yep.
I need one more.
Oh, I haven't got a stapler either. Right, you're going to do this with hands because I've forgotten to bring a stapler, so we need one more person. Another minion. There we go. Some people call them helpers. For Angela, I call them minions. Languages. Okay, come and stand here, Joe. Perfect. So, who can tell me, what language is that? Spanish. There's one for you. Bit harder. Can you see it? Oh, even the linguists are struggling. Any ideas? Slovenian, that one. Here we go. Another complicated one. Joe, you can have that. Hungarian, yeah, well done. Almost like you've seen it before. Another one. Any ideas? Swahili, that one. There we go. Next one. Can you see that one over there? It is Chinese. Yeah, there we go. Next one. Here we go. We'll start over here. Any ideas? You must all be linguists in this corner. Not Romanian, no. Not Portuguese, no. This is Latvian. Latvian, yes. Now, this one I'm sure you'll get immediately without any trouble. No, it's not Ethiopian. They're on the right continent. No, it's not Swahili. No, this is Zulu. Zulu, where we go, there we go. Okay. We're not done yet. Not Swedish, but not Finnish. You're sort of in the right area. This is Icelandic. Icelandic. Who's got a hand left? Joey, you have. Perfect. Oh, I've miscounted. I need another hand. Oh, perfect. Thank you. Next one. This is an easy one for you now. You know that one, do you? French, thank you. You were warned if you sat at the front, you wouldn't have to get involved, weren't you? And another one. This one's another nice one, I think. German. Okay. And one more. Dutch. Yes, Dutch. So, now the challenge. What do they all say? They all say the same thing, and they say all together, God loves you. And just so you know, I know this language too. I've got it in English. English. This is what it was for. The Spirit comes and helps those apostles speak in all sorts of languages. Languages it says they didn't know. Why? To tell people that God loves them. That's the heart of it all. That's the heart of Pentecost. It's not about anything more complicated. At the heart of it is God saying, I am going to find ways to tell the whole world that I love them. To tell you that I love you. Wherever you're from, wherever you belong in the country, in the world, in the universe, you are loved by God. This is the message we're called to proclaim. And God sends his Spirit to fill us, to empower us, to proclaim that message in all we do. In the stuff we do on Sunday, in the stuff we do through the week, in the things that we do when we're nowhere near church. The Spirit comes to tell us, to proclaim to the world, God loves you. Let's pray. Loving God, we praise you for the gift of your Spirit. We praise you that it tells us you love us, you want to know us, to be with us. Help us never to forget that, to know that you are with us at our side, and to find our place in proclaiming your goodness, your grace, your gospel in this world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Round of applause for my beautiful volunteers. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're going to sing together again. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Church with life and power. Of course, the great challenge of being church is that we're called to be part of God's transforming work, the transforming work of the gospel in all things that we do. You heard a little bit about Poynton's Eco Church Award, and so Christine's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Hello. During the pandemic, there was a lot of talk about where our church would go forwards as we got back to a more normal life. And as a congregation, we held a conversation, and one of the themes that came up over and over again was our concern for the environment, both locally, nationally, and also worldwide in terms of climate change. So it prompted us to move forward, even though it was not an easy time, with plans that we'd had for some time to make our gardens more nature and people friendly, or more wildlife and people friendly. We also held a day in conjunction with the COP26 that was taking place in Glasgow, and it was evident that we had a lot of support within the congregation, so we then decided to aim for an Eco Award. So the Eco Award scheme has been set up for churches in England and Wales who want to demonstrate that the gospel is good news for God's earth. It was set up by an organisation called A Russia UK, which is a Christian charity working to protect and restore the natural world, and is committed to equipping Christians and churches in the UK to care for the environment. It's an important part of the Methodist Hope for Action agenda over the coming years. So when we organised a group, or rather Richard Baker organised a group of volunteers to look through the scheme and to see if we could comply with it and possibly get an award. There are five sections: worship and teaching, buildings, land, community and global engagement, and lifestyle. And it consists of a series of questions and tick boxes. If you tick a box, you get some points. And as we all know, points mean prizes. So even at our first meeting, we realised that the measures that we already had in place enabled us to qualify for a bronze award. We then set our sights on the silver, and with various things being done by the range of volunteers that were part of the group, we have now, as you've heard, been able to reach the silver award. We're not stopping there, we're going on for the gold. And although the gold is considered to be very difficult to reach, we'll get as far as we can and possibly get there in the end. But to a large extent, it has only really involved doing what we would want to do anyway. It's prompted us into action to complete things that we've talked about in the past. So things like putting up a bird box. We've often talked about it, but now, I'm not sure if we've actually done it, but we have plans in place to actually do it. We run a muddy church for the children, which is quite popular, I believe, although I've not been involved in it myself, but it certainly seems to be enthusiastically attended by the young children who come to our church. The buildings, the work on the buildings, eco-friendly, energy-friendly bulbs. I mean, a lot of it has helped us keep our bills down. We've had solar panels for a long time that were instigated by Chris Hawkyard, and they have proved very valuable. But it's things like this which all add up and together mean that we've qualified for this award. I really would recommend that at your churches you at least have a look at the questionnaire and see what you can complete. There is some funding available through the district. If you look on the district website, you will be able to find out about that. It's more in terms of loans, I think, which will then be paid back by the savings in electricity or fuel bills. It is very worthwhile. We've had a lot of fun doing it. Some people are very engaged in it. And when you come out and have coffee afterwards, you'll be able to see what we've achieved in the garden. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Christine, for sharing that with us. It's a wonderful story. And I'm sure if you want to know more, then we can have a word with you, Christine, or some of the others from Poynton who will know what's going on, too, might be able to say, where do we begin? Where might we start with this piece of work? So thank you for sharing that. We turn now to Scripture, and we'll hear two readings for this morning. We hear first the account of Pentecost in John's Gospel, and then we'll hear the story that we know so well from the Acts of the Apostles.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Ah, they have too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thanks be to God.
Thank you both for reading the scriptures to us. We turn to sing again. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine. We'll sing together. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Sister Mary Catherine decided that she should enter the Monastery of Silence. So she met with the priest on her arrival, who said, "Sister, this is a silent monastery. You're welcome here as long as you like, but you may not speak until I give you permission." So Sister Mary Catherine lived in the monastery for 5 years before the priest summoned her and said, "Sister, you've lived with us 5 years. You may now speak 2 words. Sister Mary Catherine said, "Hard bed." "I am sorry to hear that," said the priest. "We'll get you a better bed." And off she went. Another 5 years passed, and Sister Mary Catherine was summoned again and said, "You've been with us 10 years. You may speak 2 more words. She took a breath and said, "Cold food." "I am sorry," said the priest. We'll try and do better in the future." After 15 years, she was called to the priest again and said, "You may speak 2 words. And she said, "I quit." And the priest thought for a minute and said, "Well, it's probably best. You've done nothing but moan since you've been here." How easy is it to misinterpret someone? How often do we find ourselves doing it? Misinterpreting what somebody is doing, why they're doing it, what they're about. We can do that with this wonderful day too. We remember Jesus' promise that when he ascended into heaven, he would send a helper. We remember how those who were gathered together on the day of Pentecost had this incredible experience. We see it, we imagine it. What a great spectacle it must have been. We look in wonder at the power of God that we catch a glimpse of in those words. But so often we can misinterpret what this is all about. We remember the great story. We tell ourselves it. We sing the hymns that speak of it. But sometimes we get caught up in thinking that God really doesn't mean to include us in that great promise. This is for those 2,000 years ago. We don't see that kind of power now, we think. We misinterpret, we misunderstand this great story, this great promise that God makes to his people. Those few verses record events that are absolutely crucial in the life of the world, in the life of believers, and in the life of the church. We hear of a wind blowing, and it might remind you of the wind at creation in Genesis chapter 1. "The earth was a formless void," says the writer of Genesis. "Darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." Those Jewish people who read it and heard the story would certainly remember. Before God creates anything, before God creates the earth, a wind blows. Then we hear of what seems to be fire resting on the heads of the apostles. And you might be reminded of the story of Moses, when Moses goes up Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. Now Mount Sinai, where we read, was wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The Jews who read these words, who heard the story, would certainly remember that. Before God gave his law, he descended on the mountain in fire. So now, just before his people are filled with the Holy Spirit, wind blows, fire descends, just like at creation, just like when the law is given. Pentecost is about a new creation, a new work that God is doing among his people, allowing them to do new things, to be new things. And Pentecost is about a new kind of law, not a law that's written on scrolls in the temple, but a law that is written in us, in our hearts, by the Spirit. It's a vital day. But of course, there's more even than that. What about the crowds who gather? And Jonathan got the privilege of reading all those names that we all hope we will avoid when it comes. But the list that we've got is historically impossible. The Medes have disappeared by the point this story is written, and they've been gone for several hundred years. You see, Luke is trying to tell us something really important. These are people from every place that Luke knows of, from every time that he knows of. Luke says, look, what God does here in this moment is to transform his people, to transform all nations, to transform the past, the present, and the future. It is for us. When we come together in worship on days like this, we know we can only scratch the surface and hope little by little, year by year, to understand something more of all that God has for us. But don't miss that this gift is for us too. So for a moment or two this morning, it's that one verse that I want us to think about, and three aspects of this gift we see there. This verse that sums up the whole of the Pentecost story. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And firstly, it's the breadth of the gift. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. All of them. All who were present received this gift. We know the story well. They gathered in one place when suddenly and unexpectedly the Spirit is given to all of them. There don't seem to be special qualifications. There doesn't seem to be a pecking order. There don't seem to be some who are not quite good enough, not quite holy enough, who are left at the side. All are filled. This is not for a worthy few, for people who think that they're ready for it. This is a gift that God offers to all his people, irrespective of race, age, gender, ability, any of that stuff. God's Spirit is given to his people who allow him to work in their lives, all who are open to him. A long time ago when I was young, I'm old now, when I was at school, we were, as some of you will know, we were forced to play sports. We were forced to play football and basketball and some kind of baseball thing. And Mr. Hopkins, who still brings a shudder to me even to mention his name, would pick up two boys who'd be captains for stuff. And they would pick their teams. And if anybody's ever been in that kind of place, you know the horror. You think, maybe I won't be first, but if I'm not last. How many of you have been in that kind of a place? Oh. So it's confession time for me this morning. I wasn't picked first very often. And I know what it's like to be picked last. That's when you say, oh. But there was one day that I remember. One day when we were playing football in a youth club and I was picked first. I was about 24 years old and they were 8, but don't worry about that. Forget those things. That's not the important part. God calls each of us. God has already chosen each of us. And so those of us who know what it is to be rejected and unwanted and unchosen, finding God, one who calls our name. Those of us who feel forgotten and worthless and useless, finding God, one who holds out all his grace and power and love and says, all this for you. The gift of God's Spirit is for you. And it is for me. It is for all people. And of course, it might mean changes in our lives. It might mean that difficult choices have to be made. It might mean that priorities need to be changed. But when the Spirit comes into our lives, she gives us the strength to do those things, to make those changes. We need the Spirit to live as God calls us, to be who we are called to be. And the Spirit is available to us, to every follower of Christ, to be with us, to help us. That's the breadth of this gift. All. And then there's the measure of the gift. All of them were filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Old Testament, God would send his Spirit at particular times to particular people to do particular jobs. She's present at creation. Kings in the Old Testament are anointed with oil, as we'll remember from the other week, to symbolize the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes and guides people in the Old Testament, like Gideon and Samuel and Ezekiel. The Spirit comes to do particular pieces of work. But at Pentecost, all that changes, because now the Spirit is sent not just for a particular job or for a particular time, but to be with us, all people and all places, until the end of time. God sends the Spirit to fill his people, to fill every part of our lives, to be involved in all of our lives, to guide and inspire and encourage, to challenge, to share all that we are. The question for us is, will we allow God's Spirit to fill every part of us? Will we allow God's Spirit to fill every part of our church? Will we allow God's Spirit to fill every part of our circuit? Are we willing to trust all that we are, or will we hold something back? The great famous preacher D.L. Moody once, in an act of worship, held up a glass and said, it was empty, not like this one. He says, "How do I get the air out of this glass?" And so people gave answers. They said, "Suck it out with a vacuum." And he said, "Well, you'll create a kind of vacuum and you might break my glass." And they came up with a load of answers. And he eventually, when he'd had enough, he just picked up his jug and filled it to the brim with water. He said, "There, the air is all gone." He then went on to explain how the way to live a Christian life is to be filled. All the stuff that gets in the way, all the stuff we don't want, is transformed when we're filled by the Spirit. The Spirit is sent at Pentecost for all followers of Christ, but the Spirit does not force her way into our lives. We are called to be open, to allow ourselves to be filled in every part, not just the Sunday bit, every part. That's the measure of God's gift, filled. Then lastly, it is the impact of the gift. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. They began to speak in other languages. The Spirit made such a difference in their lives, so much so that you get that wonderful bit in Acts where they say, they've had too much wine. It makes such a difference that they can't help but see it. When the Spirit fills a person's life, it makes that kind of difference. If it doesn't make some kind of transformation, you say, well, has the Spirit been received and have we been filled in every part? Once upon a time, there was a chicken who found an egg and sat on it till it hatched. Unbeknown to the chicken, the egg belonged to an eagle and had been abandoned. So it was that an eagle became born among a family of chickens. And the little eagle, being raised in chickens, thought that it was a chicken. He walked around and he clucked like a chicken. And then one day looked up to the sky and saw an eagle flying and was amazed. He asked his family what it was. They said, it's an eagle. But you could never be like that. You're just a chicken. So the eagle spent his whole life looking up longingly at eagles, longing to fly with them among the clouds. But it never occurred once to him that he could lift his wings and fly. He died thinking he was only a chicken. Some Christians can go through their lives longing to soar with God, longing to serve God in new ways, but believing they could never have the chance. They could never do it. But through the Spirit, we can be transformed. We can be the people we long to be in our relationship with God. We can find strength and inspiration to serve God in all kinds of ways. We can realize who it is we are made to be. Those followers received the Spirit. They speak in other languages, enabled by the Spirit. They understood. The Spirit makes a difference in their lives. People hear and understand the message of the gospel. They communicate the good news. That's the impact of God's gift. It allows the followers of Christ to proclaim his message to a world that needs to hear it. So whether this is your 80th Pentecost Sunday, or your first, or somewhere in between, don't miss it. The Spirit is for you because you are precious to God, you are called of God, and because God has work that only you can do. And whether you believe it or not, you can do it when the Spirit comes upon you and fills you. You can play your part in transforming this world, and so can I. We are called together to be God's people in this Macclesfield circuit, in Poynton, in Macclesfield, in Presbury, in Langley, in Gawsworth, in Broken Cross, and in all those bits in between. And each of us has a part to play. Preacher, steward, worship leader, prayer, children's worker, coffee maker, and countless other things. Each of us need to find our place, to play our part, as the Spirit of Almighty God leads us, sustains us, and fills us. So whether it's your first, your 80th Pentecost, don't miss this wonderful gift. The Spirit is the lifeblood of Christian people, the lifeblood of the church, and we are called to be open to that gift, to be filled in every part, to proclaim the good news of God in all the world. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is one of my favourite hymns that speaks of this Pentecost gift. A great hymn of Wesley, Father of Everlasting Grace, we sing together.
Now we come to our prayer of intercession. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond. Hear our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
The Spirit of God unites us as a people to pray and intercede for the needs of others. As we gather in God's love, we offer our prayers and thanksgiving to the Father for the sake of the Son and through the Holy Spirit. Mighty God, breathe your power into all we do and say. Empower all those who minister to us with the gifts that your Holy Spirit makes available. Give them wisdom and understanding of the way that the actions taken are in accordance with your will. May they make the gospel understandable to people of every race, language, and culture. That the Holy Spirit of peace may unite and reconcile the peoples of nations of the earth, bringing end to war, hatred, and discrimination. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pray to God, help us to be constantly aware of the world's needs and problems, of poverty, hunger, homelessness, and global warming. Give the leaders of the world courage to oppose sin and tyranny, that there may be greater unity among nations, that the common good of all humanity be served by their decisions and actions. Let your Spirit touch those areas of conflict around the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for the gift of healing to restore those who are sick, injured, and suffering in any way. We pray for all those who are sick, and we especially remember Carol, Nadia, Marilyn, and Brenda. Guide them and strengthen them through their illness. We pray for those engaged in the caring professions and for the family members who look after their loved ones. In a moment of silence, we raise before you, Father, those who have asked for healing prayer for themselves or a loved one, those in our own hearts, and those known only to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for ourselves, our families, our friends, and for all that we must face in the coming days of the months and the years and in our lives. For our times of aloneness, doubt and fear, for a renewal of our hearts and minds, and for the chance to learn to love ourselves. May the coming of your Spirit bring the fire of cleansing and the wind that renews. Faithful God, as we go out into the world, we pray that this Pentecost may bring our church, community in our district, a renewed sense of unity and all Christians around the world. May we use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us to spread the good news and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Saviour, and Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you to Julie for leading us in prayer. One more hymn as we come to close, another great hymn of Wesley. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. We sing together. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.